in. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Hour number here of a special three-hour edition of the Now program on this Monday, July the 9th, 2018. Back in the studio after the Marion County Fair, 14 minutes past the hour. Next hour, Tara Dyer, who's running for county commissioner, will be joining Thunderbolt and Terry and I. But don't forget, tomorrow morning, Satch Sullinger, award-winning author, motivational speaker, and basketball coach, will start his show, Talking Points, again here tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. until noon, live in studio, taking your calls. And Thunderbolt will be his guest. Terry will be along, and so will I tomorrow. So we'll add another person to our... What was that, a three-person, a harlequinade? It's going to be a harlequinade tomorrow morning. So we're going to have a good time tomorrow morning with Satch Sullinger, and then go right into the afternoon. And don't forget Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4 to 5, and Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5 to 6. So a lot here on the station going on. Now, we're back here with Thunderbolt Patterson, Terry Tackett, and I thought we did the first hour on the wrestling business, and I thought we'd turn our attention this hour to Thunderbolt's life as a minister. Now, Thunderbolt, when did... I don't think we've done this on air yet. When did the Lord Jesus enter your life?
Well, early on, I always thought that I used to really, really like singing, church singing. And my mother was a Methodist, and she always made us go to Sunday school. But I would always run to the Baptist church because a lot of fun, a lot of singing those songs and all. And I thought at one time that I was called to preach. The Reverend C.L. Franklin from Detroit preached a sermon called "The Eagle That Stirs Her Nest." And it's I like to preach that somewhere sometime, because it's about some of the things that's going on today, these kids and things, and it's all about family and stuff, you know. How good that eagle take care of her family and what they do and all. It's deep. Everything is all is one, y'all.
Was there ever a time in your, just had a birthday,
Tell him the truth. I slept all the way through it, though.
Well, he did sleep through it, but we did have a party, even though he couldn't be a part of it. We did have a party that night, and we've got some more time here, so we can finish up the party.
All right.
Doesn't have to be on the day. All we can right, still right. have some fun.
But nice little cake. And
yeah, we're going to have some fun. So the point, though, is in this 7 decades of life you've lived, Thunderbolt, was there ever a time, because you came up, and we can talk about this at some point, in an interesting child, didn't have a childhood, bouncing around this wrestling business, bouncing around in the union business, that you ever had doubt? Did you ever doubt your faith?
No. I never did play with it. But I've always stood on what I believe. And then Reverend R.S. Rucker told me, say, son, whatever you do, take Jesus with you. And that stuck with me all along. And I used to have to read my Bible in the dressing room to keep from acting nasty. The little nasty things. Yeah.
What's your favorite Bible passage?
The whole psalm of the 71 of Psalms. I had to read it to you and talk to you about it, because that's what God had done for me.
Let the audience know basically what the gist is of
the 71. Gist is that regardless, I mean, it boils down to that he will take care of you through it all. I mean, when you get old, he ain't going to throw you away. He will be there and make your ladder better than your earlier part. And this is what God has actually, at this point, Terry and Scott, is something that you gentlemen have done or doing. I mean, so many other people has had the opportunity to recognize talent or be humble enough or heart-loving enough to try to help somebody. And my whole thing has always been to try and help somebody, family and kids. And I just learned early on, especially in this wrestling business, all I wanted them to do was treat me like I want to be treated, like I treat them. I mean, I never bothered nobody, never made nobody. Anything I done to someone, they asked for it.
I want to make this point because it's interesting. Thunderbolt came in Wednesday morning, July the 4th. Interesting day. We'll remember that date.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing because I'll be honest, because we have that type of relationship now and we can say it over the air. The first time Thunderbolt came in back in 2016, we got along perfectly fine. Terry didn't get a chance to meet Thunderbolt during that meeting, but we certainly did not have a collaboration at that time. And I have seen, since July 4th, 5 days ago, a change in Thunderbolt. I have seen laughter, smiling, collaboration.
Well, man, let me tell you something now. I want to let you people know here in Marion, Ohio, my platform. Up until this point, 4 years ago, my oldest daughter called me and told me, said, "Daddy, would you come up and help me take care of Mama? Got to touch the old timers or whatever that is, you know." I lived in the outside of Macon, Gordon, Georgia. And I came up. I've been here for 4 years. Her and I. My oldest daughter was Deborah. And we didn't have much help. And a little over a month ago, my baby passed. 60 years old. I thank God for the chance and the opportunity to be with her, to really know, learn her, my other siblings, and my grand and great-grand, and my wife's people. The most important part of this whole thing, people, is family. I came to Atlanta to help take care of my ex-wife, was my wife, kid's mother. And I did not let or want those great grandkids or grandkids taking advantage of her and Deborah. Because it's all about money, y'all. And doing what they want to do. And to see how people, I'm talking your family people now. I'm talking about you. This is me. I ain't talking about your words. If you can relate or just strike a bell in you, and I believe that it do to a whole lot of people out there. You know, siblings have problems with each other and just don't come. How do you stop seeing your mama? Come see about your mama. You understand what I'm saying? Having a so-called preacher for a husband that That's the reason the preaching game is so messed up. Mistreating women. You understand? And I call a spade a spade. A dog is a dog. It don't get over with the kids and whatever. And I'm just burnt out. Totally burnt out. I mean, the icing on the cake, I had my granddaughter come and speak to me a week or so ago. I never had nobody, I never let a man or woman disrespect me and speak to me in that manner. And thank God I kept my, I'm a strong, strong believer in the police, y'all. Y'all got to, we got to have law and order. Victor Hill is a friend of mine. He's a sheriff in Jonesboro County and the chief of police is a friend of mine. My minister, the Dr. Reverend Carswell, Colonel Carswell of the Macon Sheriff's Department, that's my minister, my pastor. And it's you had already called me. If you remember, we started talking for the 22nd, and we didn't get it on till the 4th. That was all God showed me, the whole thing. I come that close of being in the news the wrong way. Mm. My people. I mean, I'm just like an outsider coming back in.
When you say that, Thunderbolt, what specifically? What?
I wasn't with them. I wasn't with them. I mean, I was single for 20-some years. And then I remarried. But during all of that, though, when I left home, I married. And that lady, oh, she was fine, though. She was fine, but she wasn't no good. I mean,
that's always the way.
Misused my baby. And then, you know, when your kids and your people throw you under the bus and you're trying to build something for them, it's deep, man.
I do want to let people know this before we go any further. Last night, Thunderbolt Patterson, let me take you back for a second. Thunderbolt Patterson, and I always say, I'm always careful in my words in this because I want to state this as truly as I can. People have called him the best promo in wrestling business. Now, if you're even, I mean, there are people listening to this fan, a radio station, who probably have never watched professional wrestling. But a promo is when you're coming to an arena, an area, a city, a town, and you're letting people know what's going to happen. You need to get those people in those seats. And Thunderbolt Patterson, on many people's list, was always number one. Now, from 1992 until now, if you go to YouTube, there is no Thunderbolt Patterson promo. There was a 25-year absence of this man's voice editorializing on things. Now, he was preaching, and he was doing good things, but, you know...
Well, let me, can I say something?
Say something. Go ahead.
I'm a minister. I love to tell folks about Jesus. But even that, people wouldn't call me. I don't know. I don't want nobody's church. You know, and I mean, if something wrong, I tell him it's wrong. You know, I'm not trying to steer nobody wrong. All I want is, I couldn't get no work at all. The only churches that I got to was the churches that my partner, Tony Evans, that he is an evangelist and booked. Never got the opportunity to speak in too many black churches. Walter Glover, Michael Coswell, just a couple. You know why? And I'm, you know, and all it is deep, man.
So, 25-year absence. Now, as of last night, about 10 p.m., if you, and I know you all have internet, if you pull up the YouTube, there are two new, brand spanking new, Thunderbolt Patterson promos, is what you would call them, editorials, mm-hmm. on the internet. Just search Thunderbolt Patterson, WWGH Radio. So, take a look at what this man, you're hearing him in conversation today, but take a look at what's still there. First time in 25 years. So I want to remind people to do that because those are there now.
Yes, yes.
Now, Terry, you have viewed those.
Yes.
You were there when those were filmed.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
There you go.
You know, I mean, that's, I can't put it any other way. I mean, you know, to coin it, his cliche, he does what he does, you know, and that's.
Well, it's interesting.
And he's the best at what he does.
It's interesting because they were powerful.
Yes.
They were strong.
Mm-hmm.
And they meant something. So
absolutely.
I don't have to tell you. Just pull it up on the YouTube.
Well, I checked before I came, and I mean, he's already close to 100 on the one already. You know,
12 hours. 12 hours.
So that's good.
So we'll see where those are.
It's all about Jesus.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we come to this crescendo, in the year 2000, you became ordained. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what finally drove you after all those years, wanted to be a, thought you were going into the ministry, ended up in the wrestling ended, 2000, what drove you to finally get the license?
Well, that is the only thing that kept me. Do you realize I've had little odds and end pieces of work here or there? But do you realize how many paychecks I've missed?
25 years worth of paychecks.
Do you remember? Can you imagine how many titles I could have held? Could you imagine just all of the shows and reunions and autograph sessions that no one, I'm not even in mine. Do you realize that I'm not in the Hall of Fame? I'm in the Hall of Legend, but that was a joke. You know, I wasn't put in the Hall of at Greg Pierce. You know that name?
I've heard that name.
No good.
Mm.
No good. I introduced. They had. I was inducted into that. Ole got me inducted into that. $500. The next time I went, they wanted me to go to introduce Ted Turner. Ted didn't show up. I had Chuck and Chuck's friend and my friend, my lady friend with me and my daughter. Do you know that Chuck and my lady friend and his lady couldn't get in? They pulled a chair up to the table where I was and let my daughter sit down. So I mean, just how they do. Hey, treat me like I was a dog, man.
Now, last year, I do want to.
I know you cannot imagine how, because I couldn't.
Yeah.
Now, last year, you did go up to the Detroit area, back to the Cobo area.
Yes, it did.
What was that experience like?
Well, that was a good experience. That's one of the best pays I've ever got. One of the best pays I've got. Only thing about that is the guy that was running it, I mean, just really don't know what he's doing, you know. It's the same old thing, you know. I mean, just like, it's like everything else, man. They exclude black people.
When you,
I mean, fans, and they exclude them.
We're going to come back to this in just a second. But I wanted to ask this about the Detroit thing, and then we're going to come to that subject. When you were up there, an autograph session, there were a lot of other people who were in that industry there. Were there people who came up, were happy to see you, you were happy to see them?
Oh, yeah.
Who did you see? Who'd you see?
Well, DiNucci. I hadn't seen DiNucci since back in 68 when I was in Australia.
Dominic DiNucci.
Wow. Dominic DiNucci and Phil Watson sent a guy down from Canada. Phil Watson worked with Jim and I years ago. Let's see. Those are the main two, but this...
Was there a bunch of you there, Thunderbolt? How many of you?
There was a lot of people.
A lot of legends there.
Carnett was there that night. They drug him out of there.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it was some kind of commotion or something. I don't know what it was.
Talk about hard to work with.
It seems like that's his M.O. everywhere he goes.
I remember Carnett was up there for that. I read about that.
I remember that now that you say that. I remember seeing that picture.
There was an altercation with him.
I didn't realize Thunderbolt was with that group. Okay. I know.
He was there.
Sorry, Scott.
For 25 minutes before Tara comes in and joins this Harlequinade, the important thing is to get back to this because it needs to be talked about. Because we talk about there's a big thing in society right now about this, and it is race, and we should not act like it's in the dark. Now, you got to understand, if you're the listening audience, that Thunderbolt Patterson broke into the wrestling business in 1965. Now, for those who don't know history, 65, 66, 67, 68, we do not have a civil rights amendment. There are still places in the South where people of color can't eat, can't go to the restroom, can't stay in the hotel. This is the country at that point. Martin Luther King is assassinated in 1968, 50 years ago this year. Bobby Kennedy is assassinated in 1968. The Watts riots in California happened in 1968. A lot of stuff going on, and Thunderbolts touring the country at that time. So tell me about race and those 4 years of your career.
Ooh, boy. I never had a whole lot of problems other than went to in Dallas. We have a spot show, and they wouldn't allow me to dress in a motel. Where we dress in the motel, wouldn't allow me to dress in the motel. So they say everybody can come in but him. And really, though, I had more problems out of the promoters. Because I got more white fans than I do black ones. Because people are people to me. You understand what I'm saying? And my biggest problem is I'm from Waterloo, Iowa. I mean, my best friend was white. I never knew color till I come to the South. And it's just a very hurting thing to get into a sport. I mean, I wrestled all my life, amateur. But to get into a sport and making a living, and you can see the animosity, the jealousy, and the little games that don't... Mind you now, most of the individuals that was in wrestling at then and at that time it was all very educated individuals. all college boys. You understand? It's little old me. Yeah, little old me. But I have a Ph. degree in life. They gave it to me.
It's important to make this point when we're talking about race, because it does need to be talked about. And this is...
Well, but you know, I mean, I hate to keep cutting you off.
No,
like
I don't
though.
Mind.
But you know, my understanding is that the Supreme Court won't even look at it because they say it ain't none. You know, you understand? And, you know, when you, well, here we are now. Here we are. 2018. You know, nobody's kids should be taken away from them. Nobody should be treated. Only one thing, Trump trying to get a handle on this stuff. You know, trying to put a handle on stuff that there was already messed up. Now, the way he do it, I guess by the way I do it, unorthodox or whatever. But look how many babies were taken away from for 400 years that they tell us about. And how many men and was made get up out their bed and take some time out. I got something I want to do. Willie Lynch told him how on the James River. Taught them how to control. See, don't be killing them. Don't be letting your crops rot in the field. Teach them how to do what you want to do. And if you do it right, not only 400 years, but it lasts for 1,000. I think we're going on past that 400 now. If you take a horse, he said, a black man is no more valued than a horse. You got to put a muzzle on him to handle him. You had time between, they tied them between and stretched them and pulled them apart to put fear in their heart where they wouldn't. Y'all need to look, read your history.
Well, here's what is important to note. And it's very important. You've got to understand this if you're listening to this program now, because we're talking not only now, we're talking history.
All together.
Well, here's the point. If you didn't live in those times prior to 1968, you would not understand what it was. Now it's one thing to live in those times. It's another thing to be a celebrity in those times. Now, you have to understand that in 1968... The three things that you could go around this country were traveling and selling out.
Entertainment,
professional sports, and movie stars.
Yes.
Now, you've got to understand that most people from that era who were celebrities are gone. Muhammad Ali's gone. Joe Frazier's gone. Foreman didn't hit really big until after that barrier. Bobo Brazil, he's gone. We don't know his stories. Nobody ever documented them. We don't know what he faced. We don't know Bearcat Wright.
Ho, a little bit of that.
Do we know what he faced as yes, far sir. As racism?
Yes, sir.
Well,
yes, sir.
Okay, Bearcat Wright was a star wrestler.
Bearcat Wright was one of the greatest performers that ever put two shoes on. He made some money and worked some things, but then they got to the point they shut him down, just like they shut me down, because they say he was hard to get along with, because he wanted his money and wanted to be treated right.
The point to mention here is that I would guess, and it's a sad thing, but the people listening probably have no idea who Bearcat Wright is because of this, even though the man had talent.
Just like Sonny King. Sonny King looks just like Bearcat. And do you know Sonny King was one of the first champions in New York? Do you think Vince got him in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Come on, man. Come on now. What's so different with us?
Well, so this is where we are, because Thunderbolt was a celebrity in the wrestling industry.
Absolutely.
In that era. So to hear a firsthand testimony of what was going on there is what is so, because we can't call Bearcat, right? We can't call Bobo Brazil. They're gone.
Yes.
But we can call on Thunderbolt Patterson's memory here.
Prince Pullen.
Yeah.
The Black Panther.
Wow. In that era, we talk about the promoter. Tell me the locker room. Were there guys in there who had race issues?
Oh, yeah. Just little crank, little bitty things. And you know, I don't know if you know the story there. I had to do a little something to Tank Padden. You ever hear that?
I didn't hear that.
Tony was there.
Tony Atlas.
I think Tony was there. Dusty was there. Chew was there. Working for Bill Watts in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, we had just, I mean, they was hanging from the rafters. And I usually do what I do. After that thing, after the matchup, he come charging back in that dressing room and say, I'm sick of all this N stuff. Then next time, you say, I said, well, no, buddy, we might as well get this over right now. And I had to take my testicles out of his hand, and I whooped him like a drum. I whooped him. And the bad part about that is the promoter, Big Bill Watts, Cowboy Bill Watts, said, "Let him fight. Come on, man! If you got any business? You got a business or something? You don't have people fighting in your dressing room or fighting because." I put those asses in that seat that night. He didn't have nothing to do with it. You understand? So, I mean, it's just...
He was just trying to get a little peace.
Right.
Well, it's unbelievable when you think that people use that word. Now, in the 2018, you can't say that word on radio. It's become such a heinous word.
Good. I mean, I hate that word.
Well, you know, people can do and say what they want to say. Because the thing is... Regardless, they don't say it, they think it anyway. You know, so, you know, it's just, time is too short. I mean, you're talking about making America great. We have got to come together, man. We got to come together, all is one. We got to treat people like we want to be treated. Stop killing each other, all the violence. I mean, we got these kids in school. These kids in school ain't learning nothing. Come on, man.
Why is it that there are still more African Americans in prison? There are still more African Americans in poverty. I mean, look out your front door and you will see the problems that still exist.
You're saying why?
Why?
And is that... That's not a big question. I've been trying to get a job 25, 30 years. Am I capable?
Oh,
was
no.
I capable? I mean, is the opportunity? Everybody say they're not a part of it, or say they didn't have anything to do with it, but it's. Same things going on, just in a more diplomacy way. You know what I mean? It don't take no rocket science to figure that out. And you know, the ones that turn their head, when you turn your head, you're just as bad off as they are. Saying, you know, that's the reason we're so messed up. Look at the politics going on. People doing, it's all about money. People doing what they want to do for their friends, and it's not about all the people. It's about some of the people. And when you break it down to the color, look, man, look how they're doing Spanish people. Look, man, it just ain't right.
Tell me this, and whether or not you're a fan of President Obama's policies or voted for President Obama or not, he will go down as the first non-white president.
I never thought I'd see it in my day.
Explain that.
I just never thought I'd see it, because and it was an honor for him to get there because everybody want a winner, man. And, I mean, he was a smart individual. He went along with too many different things, looked the other way or shed his eye or whatever. And everything that he done that was any good, they didn't, I mean, didn't tore it apart or just say he's the worst one, saying he's the worst one ever been there. You know, and that's just a lie.
And being a man who cut a trail.
You talking about me?
Yeah, you.
Couldn't tell it, though. Couldn't tell it. I said, it's all in the making, but it none of their doings.
None of the. I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They didn't do it.
Yeah.
But now, when you sat there and you say, I would never see this in my life, and it happens in 2008, Obama becomes president. When you for
why I say that?
Yeah, why'd you say that?
Okay, man, look here. I'm a union man. I come through all. Look here. I don't know if you people out there know anything about unions or Reverend James Orange, Shag Daddy. Jim Wilson took me to him because I was being mistreated in wrestling. And he could see it to try to get some help. Unions, I'm talking about unions now that are supposed to help you. There's some crooked ones in there also. I mean, union, you're not supposed to get laid off or fired when you're sick or under doctor's care. Well, I was. I worked for SEIU, president of the Teamsters Union. Now, John Sweeney, president of Teamsters Union. He was the president of the SEIU then. I graduated from the Labor Institute in Washington, D.C. I mean, I got a little mother with it. Like I told you, I got a PhD degree in life, y'all. And Reverend James Arnold took me everywhere and done all that he possibly could do. Until they shut him down to let him, where he couldn't do nothing. But they couldn't shut him out because he was Mr. Union. He was civil rights. He was with Martin. He was just a good giant of a man. One of my best friends, Scott.
That being said, I say not policy-wise with President Obama, not how he handled things, not his personality. He gets in, and then for 8 years, we have to see stories about was he born here?
Just running him down. See, that's, I mean, discharacter. I mean, that, you know, I mean, oh, well. You know, I mean, it is nothing new. It's nothing new. And, you know, it just seemed like nobody is shameful. It just seemed like nobody want no change. Or they won't let you make no change. We got to start getting some understanding for ourselves. We got to stand up for ourselves. Hey, we ain't going to take no more. You're tired somewhere along the line. I don't want to go out like this.
Terry, when you watched that and listened to this, what do you think?
I don't even know what to say. I mean, I know it still unfortunately exists today, but I just can't believe. But I have to agree with Thunderbolt that we all need to come together. I mean, it's just.
But why is there a division?
That's the part I don't know.
Can I let Terry listen to me?
Go
man.
Ahead, man.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Why is there been this? That is the American way. I mean, ain't no way in hell something could last this long, and people didn't want it. Huh? Come on, I mean, like, hey, it don't take no scholar to do right. or figure out what's right or let what's wrong, stay in your lane. Why there's always have been suppressors and suppressees? Why? This whole country was built on slave trading. Come on.
When you were at those shows with 6 minutes left in this hour, in that era, and say, you know, it even extended into the early 70s heavy because the South was not happy about the change that was being put on them.
I know what you've been asking, man. I found Ku Klux Klan things in my bag and all type of stuff. But I was ready. I was ready. I was armed. With the word of God. I was armed with the word of God amongst them. And if any one of them would step in that ring and try, I'd whoop his. Thank you, Jesus, because he gave me the ability to do it. And they all know that.
Now, you had to go in the ring with some of these people. And knowing that they were doing this, was it hard to keep your composure?
No. When I find out how you feel towards me, just like I found out how my kids and feel towards me. You understand what I'm saying? I can't function like I was going to function or do what I was going to do. You understand what I'm saying? When I go in there, I think I done just what Reverend Rucker told me. I took Jesus with me. And we always come. My sister used to tell me, when he raised me, you don't bother nobody. But whatever they want, you oblige them. Oblige them with it. Give it to them. If they need a good one, give it to them. Thank God you'll be able to do it.
And, you know, it comes right down to that, Terry, when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, is here we are, 2018, and people are still being shot. Oh, at a greater level.
People refuse service and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And
it's so much.
And here we are.
Yeah.
And here we are.
I want to come back. And talk on one specific thing. Praise and worship and the prison system. The prison system and the prisoners' families outside. I mean, it's nothing but a revolving door. They don't know anything else. Just like me, you be marked. You know what I mean?
And you carry that mark for your whole life.
Well, that's interesting, and it really is in there. It's a whole thing, and maybe one day the problem will be solved. Do you have hope, Thunderbolt? The problem will be solved.
Oh yeah. Well, you can't solve anything until you acknowledge it. You got to talk about it. And can we talk, not kill each other? Can we dialogue? Can we discuss different things? If I say right now, it's going to be a whole lot of people that say that they were my fans, and from what I'm saying or saying the truth, I'm a smart. You see what I'm saying? Bless their heart. They wasn't friends anyway.
Well, that's right. That's the truth. And when you come right down to it, that's society. And when people rule what they rule, we have to
abide by it
for the time being. For the time being. And tonight, just touch on it a minute. In 2 minutes, we are going to get a new Supreme Court pick tonight.
I don't even want to even get going today. I mean, there's so much politics in that and so much things in that till, you know, you know what is happening. Everybody knows what's happening. You know, you got
It'll
that's
come
something
tonight.
To talk about.
Yeah. It'll come tonight. And tomorrow morning, Once this pick is chosen, I'm sure we'll have something to talk about tomorrow morning. Apparently tonight at 8 or 9 o'clock, I think it's coming down the path.
All right, Jimmy.
And we'll see who we'll choose and what we'll be and where we will go from there. Thunderbolt Patterson will be sticking along with us here for another hour. Tara Dyer to join us about a quarter after one today. This is WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Now, don't forget, Satch Solinger, award-winning coach and author and father of Jared Solinger, will return to the airwaves here at WWGH Radio starting tomorrow morning, Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday thereafter from 10 a.m. till 12 noon tomorrow. Guest number one will be Thunderbolt Patterson, talking about a lot of things, and I will be along, Terry will be along, and tomorrow we'll be back in the afternoon again, 12 to 2, discussing things of this nature, and 4 to 5, Linda Sims tomorrow, and 5 to 6, Pastor Steve Whitaker with the Pastor Spot. But we're not done today, we've still got a whole nother hour to come, back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.